head that was personally established by the great-grandson of Krishna, Vajranab. When Maharaj Parikshit received the throne from Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit was, his capital was in Hastinapur, in present-day Delhi. Because he was the emperor of the world, he established the great-grandson of Krishna as the king of Mahavan in the whole of Braj area. So Vajranab established a number of deities. At least very clearly, he established 4 devis, 4 temples of Lord Shiva, and 4 temples of the personality of Godhead. This is one of them, called the Southern Petal, Dauji. And in Mathura was Keshavaji. And in Vrindavan forest was Gopalji. And in Govardhan was Haridev. 4 deities, personally installed by Vajranab, in honor of Lord Krishna and Balaram. This deity here is very tall, as you can see, and his right arm, like Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand. Here Dauji is with his right hand, he's lifting a Varuni beverage vessel and his cowherding stick, his lati. From the front, darshan, you can't see, you have to go over to the right and look back, is Revati. Revati is looking at that wall. So her, as we're facing the deity, her back is towards us, but is actually towards the wall, looking at Dauji, Revati. I specifically wanted to come to this place second in our yatra visiting Vrindavan for a very specific reason. Because of who Balaram is and what is appropriate when approaching Balaram or the place where Dauji is presiding is to get spiritual strength. The one of the many appropriate prayers for this location is to pray to Balaram for the spiritual strength necessary to carry out the process of devotional service to Krishna. I'm sure you've all heard this before, and I'd like to express it again and explore it a little bit with you. Prabhupada taught us that when an instruction is given by Krishna or Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, within the instruction is the capacity and strength to carry out the instruction. You've heard that before. Within an instruction is the capacity to carry out the instruction, the strength to carry out the instruction. The example that Prabhupada would sometimes use to illustrate this point is the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should bring the mind back under the control of the self. So we all have the experience of trying to fix the mind on the holy name. And what is our universal experience? Very difficult. Anybody want to volunteer that they don't have a problem with fixing the mind on the holy name? No problem fixing the mind on the holy name. Any volunteers? But within the instruction is the capacity to fulfill the instruction. Within the instruction is the capacity to fill the instruction. What is that capacity? Baladev is that spiritual strength. Baladev is the original spiritual master. This is taught in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Baladev is the original. There are many persons who, in course of time, perform that function, the spiritual master function. All derive their capacity to perform that function, or their empowerment, or their representatives of Lord Balaram. It's from Balaram that one receives the necessary strength to perform devotional service properly. And so, we've come to the Dauji Temple to pray to Balaram. As I mentioned, each place has its very specific and unique potency, spiritual potency. And the spiritual potency is the potency of Balaram to provide us the strength to carry out devotional service properly. Without that strength, we're finished. We're subject to material laws and the kam, krodh, lobh, madha, moha, matsarja, the enemies of spiritual life. We're under their grip and control. So when we think of Lord Balaram, we should think of strength, spiritual strength. He can give us that spiritual strength if we properly approach him and sincerely offer our prayers to him for proper spiritual strength in devotional service. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains all moods of service come from Balaram. He himself has such a strong desire to serve that in all the various rasas, Balaram manifests himself. So what are the five rasas? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Balaram manifests all five. In Shantaras, he manifests as all the paraphernalia of the personality of Godhead. The shoes, the umbrella, the eating utensils, the bed, all the paraphernalia of the personality of Godhead. When Śrīla Prabhupāda, for example, was first, someone went to visit India and brought back a mridanga. This is a nice story. Prabhupāda was in Los Angeles and was within a setting of devotees, having some discussion. The mridanga came in. Immediately, Prabhupada took off. He paid his obeisances to the mridanga. He took off his uttariya, his upper cloth, and wrapped the cloth around the mridanga. It was very dramatic, and said, "This is Lord Balaram. He has come to help us in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan service." The drum, Mridanga, is manifestation of Lord Balaram. Those of you that know from America, they make fiberglass drums, and they call it Balaram drums, because Prabhupada taught us, this is Lord Balaram. He serves the personality of Godhead in these ways, by manifesting the dham, the paraphernalia, everything that Krishna needs in Shanta Rasa. Everything that he does is also in this primary mood of service. He simply wants to serve. He's the elder brother, but his mood is he wants to serve his younger brother in all aspects of life. In Sakya Rasa, he manifests pastimes as a cowherd boy, where he's playing together with Krishna like a friend, his dearmost friend, Lord Balaram. Because he's the elder brother, he sometimes takes the mood of being superior, so much so that he's protective like a parent is to a child, as the elder brother sometimes may act towards the younger brother. Vatsalya Bhav is also there. And in Madhurya Rasa, he manifests as Ananga Manjari, who is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. We're going to be visiting some temples where there are, by the side of the deity, in the Radha Gopinath temple in the town of Braja in Vrindavan, we'll see Radha Gopinath, and by their side is Ananga Manjari. This Ananga Manjari is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. He has such a desire to serve that he manifests in all of these five rasas, and Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, for each one of us, everyone, the mood of service comes from Lord Balaram, and this is the constitutional position of the living entity, yes? To be a servant of the Supreme Lord. This mood comes from Lord Balaram. He is the source of the mood of service. How many times have we heard in our scriptures and from our spiritual teachers how important this mood of service, like coming to the position of always wanting to serve. In one sense, it's the antidote for false ego. Because false ego, it's the first thing that comes out of pradhan. The first element. It's the first one to appear, and it's the last one to disappear. It's the root of our material existence. It's misidentification in the mood of enjoyment with something that we're not. To protect ourselves from false ego and dissolve false ego, this mood of service in everything that we do, trying simply to serve and please Krishna. This is our life. Our life's cultivation in Krishna consciousness. And this mood of service originates in Balaram. Let us pray to Lord Balaram that he can be very kind upon us and strengthen our mood of service always, to keep us protected from all other conceptions of who we might think we are. Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. This is Narada's definition of bhakti, dismissing all upadis. But we're so much infested, addicted, not just habituated, addicted. We can't live without some illusory conception of who we are. It's so difficult to overcome this struggle with material identification, but Balaram will give us the strength. He gives the instruction and he gives the strength to carry out the instruction. One who has such transcendental faith can go beyond the coverings of material conceptions into the true spiritual conception of life. Carry out our lives in Krishna consciousness by the strength that we can receive from Lord Balaram. Prabhupada has taught us that Balaram is none different from Krishna, the first expansion of Krishna, who is only different from Krishna in complexion. Krishna is Shyam, and Balaram is Shukla. He's white like milk. Of course, there is this other difference, and that is the difference of mood. Balaram's mood is always wanting to serve Krishna. And Krishna accepts that mood in love from Balaram and all those who similarly serve Balaram or serve in this mood of humble service. In this pastime, the pastime of Krishna appearing with Balaram, he appears in as the elder brother. A long explanation could be given of the previous appearance, because whenever Krishna appears, Balaram appears, or his eternal associates always appear. So in the previous incarnation, as Lord Ram, Balaram appeared as Lakshman. Vasudev was Lord Ram, and Sankarshan, in the quadruple expansion, the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Pradyumna and Aniruddha were Bharat and Shatrughna, and Sankarshan was Lakshman. So Lakshman, as the younger brother of Ram, he also wanted to only serve Ram. What did Lakshman want besides serving Ram? Nothing but service to Ram. But that service to Ram put him in many compromised, painful situations. He didn't mind being in exile with Ram. That was wonderful. The austerities of living in the forest was wonderful because he was with Ram. And Ram was with Sita. And it was joyful. But when Sita accused Lakshman of wanting to enjoy her separately from Ram, when Marich assumed the form of golden deer and Ram went to capture the golden deer at Sita's request, you all know this. And when off in the forest searching after the deer, when he finally pierced the deer, and Marich called out just in Ram's voice, "Oh Sita, oh Lakshman, come help." Lakshman didn't go, knowing this is a trick. Who can harm Ram? He knows who Ram is. No one can harm Ram. But Sita then pierced the heart of Lakshman, accusing him of some terrible, never thinkable desire to enjoy all along, just waiting for that opportunity when you can enjoy me alone without Ram. Unthinkable. So painful. And then after regaining Sita, another very, very painful circumstance, after Sita had been freed from the clutches of Ravan, the arrangement was made for Sita and Ram to again be reunited. And Ram was not showing happiness, but showing distance. And Sita couldn't understand the heart of Ram. Why are you... What's wrong? What's troubling you? Why are you distancing yourself in this way? I performed my duty. You've now been freed from the clutches of this wicked Ravan. But how can I accept a woman who's been out of the home or with another man, been touched by another man? So Sita's conclusion, as you know, was, without you I cannot live, I'll enter into fire. Ram turned to Lakshman. Very good. Lakshman, light the fire. How difficult. How painful. But it was the order of Ram. And for Lakshman, there's nothing in life but the order of Ram. But what a difficult order Ram gave. So he gathered the wood and everything was ready. And Ram said again, light the fire. Of course, as Sita entered, Agni came carrying the real Sita and the whole explanation. Maya Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, not the real Sita. And Ram was then declared, all along I knew that Sita had been perfectly chaste. This was done just to show the world the purity and chastity of Sita. And Lakshman had to render that very, very difficult service. And then after returning to Ayodhya, once again, when Ram heard from some washerman, some very simple person, one person, making some claim that I am not a henpecked personality like Ram who keeps company with a woman who has been out of the home for years. Hearing this, Ram then instructed Lakshman to take Sita, who was pregnant. Take Sita to the ashram of Valmiki. She always likes going into the forest. Tell her it's a pleasure excursion. Go to the forest. Take her to the ashram of Valmiki and leave her there. The order of Ram. So hard. My Lord, how can you ask Sita to do this? How can you ask me to do this with Sita? He explained and gave his order again. Such a difficult instruction. When Lakshman was approaching the ashram of Valmiki, Sita was jubilant, but she could understand. Lakshman was in terrible anxiety. His face was showing the great anxiety. What is the cause of your anxiety? We're at the ashram of Valmiki. But because she's who she is, she could understand. Lakshman has some very difficult service to perform on behalf of Ram. What is it, Lakshman? What is it? Tell me. Crying and sobbing, Lakshman informs Sita. What was the plan of Ram? It was a one-way visit to Valmiki's ashram. And Sita was silent, feeling, who can imagine what her feelings were? Never to again see the Lord of her life. She spoke in very simple words, if this is the happiness of Lord Ram, then it is my happiness and my life and soul. How difficult it was for Lakshman to be Ram's younger brother. Though Prabhupada described, he decided, not next time. I'm going to be the older brother. So as the older brother, he would sometimes act in contrary ways to Krishna. For example, he wanted their younger sister, Subhadra, to marry the unmentionable. And Krishna, when Arjuna was visited, he was on pilgrimage one time to the holy places, and he visited Dwaraka. And because he was in this position of incognito, he entered into Dwaraka as a sannyasi. And anyway, this is very interesting intrigue where Krishna wanted to see what was the desire of Subhadra. Who would you like to marry? Well, Balaram has this other idea, but no way could I marry. But that sannyasi that you brought in, it seems that he's attracted to me, and I'm quite attracted to him. That's all Krishna needed to know. Subhadra and Arjuna were to marry. The obstacle was the elder brother, Balaram. So he didn't disclose his plan right away. He let them get more attached by having Arjuna come a number more times and through the corner of their eye catching one another and becoming more and more attached to one another. And Balaram was so protective of Subhadra that he didn't have her go out in public at all, except on one occasion on a special holiday. One time of the year, the whole royal family would go to a temple and see the deity, and at that time, when the whole of the Yadu dynasty is in full regalia of a big festival, Arjuna, come in a chariot, roaring in. Grab Subhadra, take off and kidnap her. Krishna gave the plan. And the Yadu dynasty couldn't believe it. Here comes Arjuna galloping in and screeching halt, picks up Subhadra and off he goes. What an insult! Balaram telling the armies, gather the armies, let's go catch this rascal. What a disgrace to the Yadu dynasty. First we should go ask Krishna though, because we can't do anything without Krishna's. Krishna, please say, give us the word. Krishna just smiled. I think it's very nice. It's a disgrace, it's dishonor to the Yadu dynasty. He just kidnapped our sister who was to be married to Duryodhana. Krishna said, I think it's a very wonderful combining the Yadu dynasty and the Kaurava dynasty? That's very powerful dynasties. Great. And in our Kshatriya community, this kind of kidnapping marriage, this is very honorable, noble. Very good. Why, instead of going to capture Arjuna, we should go bearing gifts and honor him and have the wedding at once. Invite the members of the Kaurava dynasty to come and attend Subhadra's wedding. Balaram was stunned. So the elder brother Mood went down and the servant of Krishna Mood went up. And the whole plan of Balaram reversed by Krishna's indication. With grand procession, they went to find Arjuna and Subhadra and brought them back and had a big wedding in Dwarka. Or this relationship that he had, very difficult to understand, very enigmatic, his partiality for Duryodhana. He simultaneously taught fighting with the club to Duryodhana and Bhim. But Duryodhana was in some ways more skilled, although Bhim was more powerful. So when they fought with one another, it was the standoff. But Balaram favored Duryodhana. So when Bhima finally, under Krishna's indication, broke the thigh of Duryodhana, Balaram, who had been on tour, just happened to come at the same time, and he became so angry. Balaram, whose strength knows no limit. Balaram, who with his plow was going to drag the whole of Hastinapur along with Karna and Duryodhana, his 99 brothers, and Drona and Kripacharya, and the whole powerful Kaurava army with his plow, drag it into the Ganges River, when they could understand, whoa, don't mess with Balaram. They came out of the palace, please. We didn't understand what we were doing. Please accept our gifts. You can have Samba back, and yes, he can marry my daughter. It's okay. Whatever you want. Because he's Balaram. So powerful is Balaram that with just one killed one of the most powerful demons in the whole entourage of demons of Kamsa, Pralambasura. So mighty and powerful was Pralamba, feared by everyone. One punch, dead. Dhenuka whirled him around and threw him on top of the tall trees. We'll be going to Talavan tomorrow. So powerful is Balaram. He is the source of all strength. But when the indication comes from Krishna, that strength becomes subordinate to the will of Krishna. This is the mood of Balaram. So whatever, same for our lives, whatever capacity we have, certainly nothing like the strength of Balaram, but whatever the capacity is that we have, whatever gift it is that Krishna has given us, endowed any one of us, that is to be subordinate to the desire of Krishna. And false ego may try to prevent us from doing that. In fact, pretty good at doing that, preventing us from subordinating ourselves to the will of Krishna. But Balaram gives the strength to accomplish that. Maximum exhibition of this mood of service and compassion of Balaram is found in Lord Nityananda Ram. Lord Nityananda Ram is the same as Balaram. Balaram hoilo nitai. So that same Balaram who could have did as he did in his Leela as Balaram, destroyed so powerfully so many opposing forces, when coming in contact with Jagai and Madhai, who threw a clay pot and smashed him in the head, finished, two rascals, just like that. But what did Nityananda Ram do? He said, that's all right. Just chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Just chant the holy name of Krishna. Madhai had appreciation, unique appreciation for this feature of compassion of Lord Nityananda, and he fell at Nityananda's feet. But Jagai was still in this intoxicated stupor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came rushing with his Sudarshan chakra rays ready to destroy Jagai. But by the plea of Nityananda Ram, Jagai not only was spared, but brought to the stage of Prema Bhakti on the prayer of Lord Nityananda Ram. So here at the Dauji temple in Gokul Mahavan, let us pray to that all-powerful, most merciful Lord Balaram and Nityananda Ram, that the strength to carry out devotional service, the strength to go beyond the designations of misidentification, who we think we are, but we're not, to come to the spiritual conception and carry out instructions that we've received from the scriptures and from our spiritual masters, enter into our hearts and unflinchingly remain very strong and fixed in that position by the mercy of Lord Balaram. The appearance of Lord Balaram here in Gokul Mahavan is a very wonderful narration. In the line of kings in which Krishna appeared, there was one king named Devamidha. Devamidha came and made his residence in Mathura, and he had two wives. Devamidha had a wife that was a Kshatriya, and he had a wife that was a Vaishya. From the Kshatriya wife, Shurasena was born. The son of Shurasena was Vasudev. From the Vaishya wife, the son that was born was named Parjanya. Parjanya. Parjanya was such a pious king and loved by everyone, and as his name indicates, profuse rain would come. So much that ample grasses and supplies were there for the cowherding community, that he was then given the title Parjanya Maharaj, the king of Mahavan, the king of Braj, Brajendra. Braja, Indra, the king of Braja. And Parjanya Maharaj had five sons. Nanda was one of those sons. The eldest was Upananda, and Abhinanda, and Nanda, and Nandan, and Sunanda. the Nanda brothers. Because Upananda was the eldest, he was the natural inheritor of the honor of being the king of Braj. But because he knew that his middle brother, Nanda, was superlative to him in all respects, he therefore, when it was time for Parjanya Maharaj to retire from active duty as the king, he turned the kingdom over to Upananda, who simultaneously turned it over to Nanda. And Nanda was then crowned king of Braj. And his explanation was, even look at my name, Upananda. And there's the real Nanda. And everyone understood his mood, and everyone loved Nanda Maharaj, so Nanda Maharaj became the king of Braj, Brajendra. So we know one of Krishna's names is Brajendra Nandana, who was to inherit the title, the king of Braj, except he left when he was just 12 years old to go to Mathura, never to return, or apparently not to return. When Vasudev married Devaki, we know the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki. Devaki was one of the sisters. There were something like 11 sisters. She was the eldest, and so her name is particularly mentioned, but there were 10 other sisters who married Vasudev at the same time. And one of those sisters was Rohini. Rohini was one of the wives of Vasudev. So the description is given that Vasudev and Rohini produced one child, and during the pregnancy of Rohini, something like 3 months or so into the pregnancy of Rohini, Vasudev sent Rohini to go stay with Nanda and Jasoda in Gokul, understanding that this Kamsa is so wicked, who knows what he might do if the child was born. So Rohini is pregnant here in Gokul with her son. Balaram is eternally the son of Rohini, Rohini Nandana. One night, Rohini had a dream, and in her dream, she dreamt that she had a miscarriage. And when she woke up, sure enough, she had a miscarriage. And she was grief-stricken. But then a voice from the sky informed her that this child that is now as a miscarriage has actually been replaced by the Lord's internal potency, Yogamaya, as your eternal son, Balaram. So now we'll go back to Mathura. And in Mathura, the first 6 sons of Devaki were killed by Kamsa. These first 6 sons is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that these 6 sons represented freeing Devaki from the 6 enemies, the 6 impurities of heart, lust, anger, and greed, jealousy, madness, and illusion. Kamsa represented material existence personified. Devaki was a pure devotee. Out of fear of material existence personified, out of fear of material existence, Devaki became freed by the will of the Lord of these coverings. And that made the arrangement just appropriate for Lord Balaram to appear as her seventh child. The function of Lord Balaram as the original spiritual master is to prepare the heart to receive Krishna. This is the function of spiritual master. Balaram, the original spiritual master, was performing that function in relation to Devaki, preparing the heart, preparing a not only a place of purity, but a proper sitting place and a proper arrangement to receive the Lord, so that Krishna could then come and take shelter there and then become her son. So, by the arrangement of Krishna, during that seventh pregnancy, the child within the womb of Devaki was transferred by Yogamaya to the womb of Rohini. And thus, Rohini Nandana was born. You know, another Immaculate Conception story, for those that know a little bit about Christian theology. By the arrangement of the internal potency of the personality of Godhead. So there's some detailed description of how all of this happened and exactly, you know, when during Rohini's pregnancy she was transferred and when Balaram was born. Skipping all that interesting detail, he's the elder brother. Not exactly brother, because Rohini is the mother. But then the seventh child of Devaki, same mother. But Balaram, listen to this carefully, Balaram eternally resides here, just as Radharani eternally resides in Ravel. He's always here. And sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. When the form of the Lord was transferred by Yogamaya, that form of the Lord merged with the personality of Godhead, eternally present, and made his appearance as Balaram. Same. The Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, Prabhupada mentions it briefly. It's elaborately discussed in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. When the eighth child of Devaki was born, this was forearm Vasudev Krishna. And forearm Vasudev Krishna then assumed a childlike form at the request of Devaki. But then with the prior instruction that he then be carried to the other side, to this side of the Jamuna River, and then on this side of the Jamuna River be placed by the side of Jasoda. So Jasoda gave birth to two children, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Yogamaya was born, and then Swayam Bhagavan Krishna was born. So when Vasudev brought Vasudev Krishna to Gokul, this Vasudev Krishna merged into the form of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Because Krishna eternally resides in Vrindavan. And Vasudev Krishna appears in Mathura. In fact, when Vasudev was carrying Krishna across the river Jamuna, what happened? He slipped out of his hands. So those of you that are parents, imagine the very evening that your child is born. Imagine you lost seven children. The eighth child is in your hands and he falls into the river Jamuna. My God. What would you feel? Vasudev panicked. Of course, this was the arrangement of the Lord's internal potency, and he found the child in the river. Vasudeva Krishna remained in Mathura, and Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is now in his hand. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Same when Akura was taking Krishna from Vrindavan. Same, just in reverse. Krishna stayed in Vrindavan, and four-armed Vishnu went with Akura into Mathura. Right? The scene in the... We're going to be going to Akura Ghat. Akura went into the river to take bath before entering Mathura. When he went into the river, he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river. But he had just seen them on the chariot, so he went back to the chariot. There they were in the chariot. He went back to the river. It wasn't Krishna and Balaram, it was Lord Vishnu and Anantashesh, surrounded by all the devas and gandharvas, singing songs glorifying the personality of Godhead. And all auspicious prayers. Krishna and Balaram, Acharya's comment, Krishna and Balaram remained in Braja. In fact, they're eternally in Braja. Vasudeva Krishna went back to Mathura. And Vasudeva Krishna came from Mathura and stayed in Mathura. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is in Gokul. And Balaram also, the eternal brother. So now we have these two, Yashoda and Rohini, as the mothers of these two transcendental personalities, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and Balaram. And what transcendental pastimes they had together. Unlimited happiness. These are the supreme personality. In Goloka, there's no Janma Leela. They perform Janma Leela. How wonderfully they perform Janma Leela. And now they're the little Baal children, playing like children. The personality of Godhead, playing like a child. Such transcendental fun. Delighting the hearts of all the residents of Braja who have Vatsalya Bhav just for their happiness. Krishna's happiness is the happiness of his devotee, so he appears in this world and performs wonderful pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Practically some short weeks after Krishna was born, of course, after Krishna was born, Nandotsava was performed the very next day. Krishna was born at midnight, and by the time the sun was just getting ready to rise, Nanda Maharaj was off in the goshal, milking the cows. So when Brahmana went from Nandagraund into the goshal to give the message to Nanda Maharaj, then you've just, a child has just been born. Because they've been childless for years and years and years and years and years and years. Finally, the child is born. The Brahmana, having seen the beauty of this child, was so captivated, so thrilled, so transcendentally enlivened, that when he went to give the news to Nanda Maharaj and Upananda and the other cowherds that were milking the cows, he couldn't speak. His voice was choked. But they could understand, even he said no words. What had happened? The child is born. Something like that. So at once, Nanda Maharaj ran to his home to be in the presence of the child. He wanted to be clean. He took his bath, put on fine garments, and went running to the place where Jasoda was. Running so hurriedly and so anxiously, he tripped over his garments and fell and got up and ran and excitedly tripped again and got up and ran and came before the child and saw this very tiny first day born infant in the arms of Mother Jasoda. And Mother Jasoda placed the child Krishna in her arms, in his arms. Such perfection of parental love. Mothers and fathers of this world have some idea what that feeling is like. And this is the personality of Godhead and the Lord's pure devotee. Not just pure devotee. Our scriptures teach that Jasoda and Nanda, they're not jiva souls that are perfected. They're actually in another tattva. They're shakti tattva. The Lord's own potency performing this function of mother and father to satisfy the love, the natural affections that the personality of Godhead himself has. So shortly after the birth of Krishna, it was time for Nanda Maharaj to pay his taxes in Mathura, because the system was the king owned all the land, the king in Mathura, and he as the king of Braja had to pay taxes to the king. The Vaishya king had to pay taxes to the Kshatriya king. So once a year, around harvest time, the bounty was taken. What was the wealth of Nanda Maharaj? It was milk and ghee, clarified butter, yogurt, and all types of milk products. Large quantities were brought to pay the tax to the king. While Nanda Maharaj was gone, Kamsa had sent the first of the demons to try to kill Krishna. The demon is Putana. So, what I had planned to speak about, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. What I wanted to do was go through the pastimes of Krishna's killing Putana, Krishna's killing Shakatasura, Krishna's killing Trinavarta. The Gokul pastimes of Krishna's killing of demons and those wonderful, wonderful leelas. But I don't know how we're going to do this with our time schedule. Where's Dharmendra? Schedule? Want to make a judgment call here? What do you think? Okay. He has no problem if we continue, at least as far as our schedule. What about the heat of the sun? Are you okay? You're okay? And nobody wilting? There's a little shade over here and over here if you're wilting. Also over there. I'll continue. Putana was a very, very powerful witch. of a particular kind. It's described that she was Kechari. I mentioned this before. She had the capacity, like a mystic witch's power, to fly in the air. So, and her specialty was killing little children. That was like her thing. She specialized in killing little children. And when she would kill little children, she would drink their blood. That was like her specialty. Thousands of small children she had killed in this way. She was expert. Kamsa sent her first. So she came by mystic power. She came in a invisible way. Others could not see her approach. In addition to this flying in the air capacity that she had, she also had the capacity of assuming any form that she liked. We find this sometimes. Sariputta calls this shape-changing demons. So she very intelligently assumed a beautiful woman's form, because her normal form was ugly, which she showed later. Very fearful looking. So instead, beautiful. So beautiful. Then, again, those of you that are mothers, imagine someone that you never saw before comes into your home, and she walked right past Yasoda and Rohini, and all the other assistants went right into the chamber where few weeks old Krishna is asleep, lying, and went right into the home. And they let her pass. So, how beautiful, how unassuming was this form of Putana. And when Putana saw Krishna lying there in his bed, she was attracted because he's all beautiful. But at the same time, being attracted, she was thinking, I will kill him. When Krishna saw Putana enter, Krishna closed his eyes. And our acharyas comment, why did Krishna close his eyes? They give a number of reasons. One of those reasons is, he was thinking, the first demon I have to kill is a woman. You're not supposed to kill women. So he closed his eyes. But Ram, the first demon he killed was also a woman. So it's not against religious principle when someone of such demoniac character comes. That rule is to be broken. Another reason he closed his eyes, our acharya's comment, is he knew how many children in cold-blooded murder Putana had killed. He didn't want to see her face. What a terrible person. Terrible person. He closed his eyes. Then Shukadeva Goswami says that although Krishna appeared to Putana like a rope, actually it was a poisonous snake ready to kill her. And Putana appeared to be like a sword in a sheath, covered. Her real mischievous intention was covered by her beauty. But actually it was It was a sword-like intent of killing Krishna. So she went right up to Krishna and picked up Krishna and immediately began to offer her breast to breastfeed Krishna. Now Krishna knew exactly what her plan was. And so his plan was to accept her motherly intent, accept her breast milk, at the same time to kill her. Now those of you that know how big are the hands of a child a few weeks old? So tiny are their hands, little delicate little fingers. Krishna, with those little delicate fingers, but the strength of the personality of Godhead, grabbed hold of the breast of Putana, accepted, knowing that on the breast of Putana was the poison enough to kill 10,000 men. He's just a little baby. Sucked the breast of Putana and squeezed her very hard. So hard, little tiny child, but the strength of the personality got it, that she was in great pain. Terrible pain. And she cried out, "Child, leave me! Leave me!" And as Yasoda and Rohini, they were seeing this happen. Imagine what they felt. Screaming so loud. Krishna squeezed harder. And so Putana, in such pain, was trying to pull Krishna off her body. He wouldn't let go. She ran out of the house screaming, "Let go of me, child. Let go. Please let go." Krishna wouldn't let go. He was holding on, squeezing. Her body began to expand. She was in such pain that her mystic powers were being diminished. And so her normal sized form, normal shape and size, began manifesting. And she went outside the house of Nanda Maharaj and fell to the ground. Her body expanded 12 miles. How many miles was it from Ravel to here? 15 kilometers. How many miles is that? 7 miles. 6-7 miles. 12 miles long. Bhagavatam says all the trees in all directions for 12 miles were knocked over. Imagine Mother Jasoda's anxiety. Imagine her anxiety. Krishna! And all the gopis of the same anxiety, running out to see what happened, and saw this huge form. Gigantic form. Described her eyes were like two giant wells. Her hair sprawled out was like red bushes in all directions. Her abdomen was like a giant lake. Her breasts were like two hills. Her legs were like two mountains. Huge form. And they saw climbing on top of this giant Putana form was little Krishna. Just playing. Putana was dead. But they were in anxiety for Krishna's well-being. So they climbed up this body of Putana and took Krishna in their arms and brought him to the cows. Nice description. Call the brahmanas, and with the little switch, the tail end of the cow, move the cow's the tail slowly before Krishna to ward away ill omens. And bathed Krishna in panchagavya, in cow urine and cow dung, and yogurt and ghee and butter. How valuable is the cow to purify? to sanctify, call the Brahmins, chant the mantras, protect Krishna. Because the life of the cowherds is the cows. And they worship the cow, or they respect that the cow is so sacred. Let the sacred cow sanctify our child. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj is returning from Mathura along the road, and instead of seeing a road, he sees this giant thing. This 12-mile-long thing stretched in the road. What's this? And then Nanda Maharaj was informed what had happened. Somehow Lord Narayan saved our son. They began speculating. Maybe it's our pious activities. Maybe it's because we did our pujas so nicely that the demigods blessed Krishna and saved him. But whatever, we have to get rid of this giant body of putana. Because sometimes it's found when a dead body, like a body of a snake, sometimes the body again revives. And the snake becomes again alive. So they decided to cut the body of putana to pieces and burn it. So as they were cutting and hacking away this 12-mile-long body, making big, big fires, the smell of rotting flesh is terrible. But instead, Putana's body being burned smelled like fragrant aguru scent. Like, you know, we may offer to the deity aguru agarbati. Because of the touch of Krishna, she had become purified. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it describes the residents of Gokul saw a Vaikuntha Vimana descending above Putana's body, and a transcendental form of Putana left her body, ascended onto the Vimana, and she went off into the spiritual world to become an eternal resident in Goloka Vrindavan. Such is the mercy of Krishna. Uddhava describes like this in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when he was asked by Vidura. Vidura found Uddhava in the forest of Braj and asked Uddhava, can you tell me how the descendants of Yadu are doing? He knew that the descendants of Yadu had disappeared, but he didn't want to speak it. So he asked Uddhava, how are the descendants of Yadu doing, and how is Krishna? Uddhava had just been with Krishna. But Vidura was asking. And the first verse, the first statement Uddhava makes is, what can one say about Krishna? What more perfect master can there be than Krishna? Because Krishna gave Putana, who came to kill him, to murder him, as a small infant, Krishna accepted her motherly affection and gave her a position in the spiritual world as an eternal associate of Mother Yashoda, always serving in Vatsalya Bhav in Goloka Vrindavan. Who can be as merciful as Krishna? And that was the start of three chapters of Uddhava non-stop talking about Krishna. You ask a personality like Uddhava about Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So when one, a personality like Uddhava, just sit down. When a personality like Uddhava begins speaking about Krishna, it's like pressing his Krishna button. And what comes out is Krishna Katha, like a cascade of ecstasy, non-stop. such as the quality of Uddhava, such as the love of the pure devotees of the Lord. Unlimitedly, speaking about the unlimited personality of Godhead and His unlimited ways of pleasing His devotees. Putana, being the first demon that was encountered by Krishna, represents, on the path of spiritual life, when they encounter, we have all had the experience, false teachings or false teachers. And the Putanas of this world would like to take our attention away from Krishna. More, kill Krishna. Prabhupada would become so angry at the false teachings that would, in the name of Bhagavad Gita, say nothing about Krishna or even Krishna's words, but would twist and interpret in such a way it's unrecognizable what Krishna actually said. What to speak, Krishna's not there. And so Krishna protects the devotee. Just take it away and just cover it. Krishna protects His devotee on the path of spiritual life from the Putanas of this world. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, boy, does he go to town with this one. So strong in protecting the devotee from misleading ideas of so-called spirituality. It's so harmful. It's lethal. Once the real value of human life can be completely lost by false teachings and false teachers. Let me ask you a question. Most of you are from India, either by birth or you actually live here. Now you may live somewhere else. Of those in India today, of those persons, there's many persons, increasing numbers of persons that don't follow anything. I was terribly shocked to see in the Delhi airport, a McDonald's restaurant. In Delhi, and there was a long line. Indian Airlines lounge. In the, you know, past the check-in area, and you're sitting around waiting, and then there's... Where's the values of... Where's it gone, and where's it going? Of those people that have some sense of religious life, many are interested in the benefits of worship and getting something. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. But of those that have what they consider to be a spiritual conception, beyond gaining something worldly, just that sector, how many of them are Krishna is gone? Or impersonalism. It's all one. How prominent is that in India today? Huge. Huge. And with internet and other types of media, abundant is this misinformation. They're the Putanas of this world. And our acharyas want to protect us from that. So to place the personality of Godhead as He is in that position is real protection. By Krishna's killing Putana, He showed that for those who are sincere on the path of spiritual life, He will protect from such personalities. But Krishna's kindness is, in the case of Putana, not becoming inimical to Putana, but giving her a position in the spiritual world. How kind is Krishna? And how kind is Krishna upon his devotee? If Krishna is so kind to Putana, what to speak of Krishna's devotee? I'll try to go more quickly. When Krishna was just 3 months old, there was another festival. Just like with his birth festival, the Uttana festival. It's a festival for when the child, instead of just lying there sprawled out, starts to raise his back. Festival, let's have a festival. Big festival. Invite all the Brijbasis to come and have a festival. Krishna's raised his back, 3 months old. And Mother Jasoda, recognizing 3-month-old Krishna is hungry, she laid down with him near a cart in the back of their yard. I don't know if you have this yet in India, but we have this system now in America, all over the place, where there's storage. You got extra household stuff, you don't know, it doesn't all fit in your house, you get a storage space. You rent a storage space. The system in Gokul is they just had a bullock cart in the back of the yard, and in the bullock cart they put extra stuff. You know, things that they would from time, big heavy vessels that they would use on occasions, but otherwise they wouldn't use, so they just piled up these big things on the back of a bullock cart. And she laid down with Krishna to feed Krishna so that he would rest. Both. Feed Krishna, and it was to bring Krishna to the position where he would be very peaceful enough to rest. She laid in that position with Krishna. And when Krishna fell asleep, then she went to attend her guests who had come for the Uttana festival. And Krishna, although he is just 3 months old, he's omniscient. He's the personality of Godhead. He knew that in that cart, one demon, who was a disembodied creature, had taken shelter with a specific intent to kill him. Krishna wanted to release him from that demoniac mentality. And so, with his little, tiny, 3-month-old little legs, kicked the axle of the cart. 3-month child, big, heavy cart with big, heavy utensils. Krishna's little kick, everything went flying all over the place because he's all powerful. Again, our acharyas comment that Vamana exhibited this huge form to pierce the coverings of the universe with his second step. Krishna just kept his little baby form. Didn't have to change anything. Lord Sringadeva appeared as fierce, half-man, half-lion form to destroy Hiranyakashipu. Krishna just kept a little 3-month-old form, kicked the cart. The cart came smashing down on this demon. And when everyone heard the big clamor, Mother Jasoda immediately knew Krishna was under that cart. Oh no, Krishna! Mothers with their motherly affection thinking their child is in danger. Here's this explosion. Very similar to the Putana situation. Immediately they got the brahmanas to chant their mantras and the panchagavya, abhishek of Krishna, and neutralize any bad omens that may have acted on Krishna. And they asked the other boys what happened, and they told exactly what happened. Krishna's feet didn't reach the axle. Right? He's just a little three-year-old, a three-month-old. But still, Krishna just kicked the wheel, moved the axle, and everything went fine. He said, no, not. You're just children. Krishna destroyed the Shakat Asura, who represents the load-carrying propensity. We have in our hearts a whole load of undesirable things, unnecessary things, unwanted things, anarthas, and Krishna, when he sees the sincerity of his devotee, removes those things from the heart of his devotee, or this load-carrying propensity. Now, think about it for just a moment. In our practical lives and devotional service, there are some things that we have, this like bad habits. And we know that we shouldn't maintain bad habits, but there are certain ones that are like, they don't go away very easily. And nor do we necessarily make a super big effort to get rid of them. We maintain bad habits, a load of undesirable, unnecessary, unwanted things. We maintain them. This load-bearing propensity is represented by Shakatasura, and with one kick of his foot, Krishna dismissed the whole thing. Once Prabhupada received a devotee who had left his association, Prabhupada brought someone to Krishna consciousness, gave this devotee initiation, and after some time the devotee went away. And then the devotee came back, and he was so repentant, feeling ashamed to be in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very merciful and said, why did you go? He said, well, I was struggling so hard with this load of unwanted things. And Prabhupada's comment was, don't you know with one kick of my boot I can rid all those things just like that? Don't you know that? Please don't ever go away again. And that devotee to this day is still practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. Because by taking shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna, then that load of undesirable, burdensome things can be at once dismissed. Again, this is this Balaram. Within the instruction that certain things are unwanted, undesirable, we may not feel we have the strength, but Krishna will give us the strength. Balaram will give us the strength. And at once dismissed. When Krishna was just a little older, Mother Jasoda would enjoy, as we sometimes see children with their parents with their children. She held Krishna before her. The description is so beautiful. She would gaze in Krishna's face and gaze in Krishna's eyes and was just completely charmed and enchanted with the beauty of Shyamasundara. And Shyamasundara would smile. And that smile of Shyamasundara charmed her heart even more. And her joy increased. And as her joy increased, Krishna's smile became broader. And her joy increased. And she then was lifting Krishna like this. And Krishna would smile. And she very gently lifted Krishna like she was going to toss Krishna in the air. And Krishna smiled and laughed. So she started doing like this. And Krishna was feeling, I like to fly in the sky. But Mother Jasoda can't do that. But there's this demon coming who will carry me into the sky. Trinarvarta. But I don't want Jasoda to see this because she'll become too much in anxiety. So Krishna then decided that he would become supremely heavy. All at once he became so heavy, Mother Jasoda couldn't lift Krishna, and she placed Krishna down. And Krishna was just lying. So she went to attend some of her duties in the house, which was just as Krishna had planned, which was also just as Trinavarta had wished. Trinavarta was a demon who had this capacity to move in a circle like a whirlwind. And he came approaching, roaring into Braja, making loud sound and sending winds furiously in all directions and dust. Somewhat so thick was the dust that people couldn't see in any direction. And he went right to where Krishna was and picked up Krishna, placed him to his chest and went soaring into the air as a whirlwind. Mother Jasoda was thinking, with this terrible wind, I have to find Krishna, but I can't see anything. Her motherly affection was being obstructed by this terrible windstorm and sandstorm. She couldn't see anything. When she saw that up in the air there was this terrible demon, she thought the worst could be happening. And she went to the place where she had put Krishna down and he was gone. Shukadeva Goswami said that once she fell to the ground like a cow separated from her calf, crying and crying. And the other elder gopis, they saw Mother Jasoda. She couldn't even explain what had happened, but they could understand from her emotion, Krishna's gone. They also fell to the ground, crying and crying and crying. What to do? Krishna's gone. And up in the sky, this terrible demon. And higher and higher and higher. Our acharyas describe that after Krishna was having great fun, you know, like children can enjoy amusement, no, you don't have those in India, amusement parks, you know, different rides where they can go and go and go and he was having great fun. But then it started going so high, Krishna was thinking, this has gone far enough. So as he had done with Mother Jasoda, he again starting to become heavier, supremely heavy, 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 heavy. So heavy that Trinavarta lost his momentum and couldn't go any higher. And the weight of Krishna became so great, he started pulling Krishna down, pulling Trinavarta down. So Trinavarta lost his power, his supremacy, apparent dominance over little baby Krishna. Mind you, just a few years old. So he started trying to push Krishna off his body, like Putana had tried to do. But Krishna grabbed around his neck, like a little child might do, but with supreme strength. So Trinavarta is pulling and pulling, and Krishna is holding and holding. And the more Trinavarta, with all of his strength, tried to pull Krishna off, Krishna grabbed tighter. So tight, the Bhagavatam describes that he was choking. The eyes in his sockets popped out. And he couldn't breathe. And he fell to the ground from this huge height. Fell down to the ground, crashing full force on a big stone slab. And all the limbs of his body became disjointed and dismembered and dead. Krishna killed the Trinavarta demon. When this crashing sound came, all the residents of Braja came running to the scene to see what had happened. And when they saw this terrible looking being, Trinavarta, stretched out, huge body, terrible features, they were so afraid. But then they could understand, he's dead. Now, Krishna, once again, the ritual, get the cows. Panchagavya, Abhishek, Brahmins, chant the mantras. Trinavarta represents pride. When one has some power, especially academic or intellectual capacity, that kind of power, then one has a tendency to become very proud. And with the word jugglery of the intellectual, send clouds of dust and wind going in all directions so nobody can see or understand anything. One must be very wary of the problem that possessing some intellectual strength has if one is not in the proper mood of service to Krishna. Very quickly it can become the kind of pride that's a self-destruct pride. And Krishna doesn't like pride. Certainly not in the hearts of his devotee or in the hearts of anyone. So we can offer our prayers to Krishna here in Goloka, or Gokul Mahavan. May Krishna protect us from these obstacles on the path of devotional service. And may Balaram give us the strength to carry out the instructions that we know are right, but sometimes we're neglectful. It makes the difference between transcendental life and struggling very hard in material existence. Taking shelter of the personality of Godhead with great faith in the instructions that we receive and the strength to carry out those instructions coming from Lord Baladev. The deity Dauji, concluding comments here, the deity that was installed by Vajranab at some point in time was hidden deliberately because of invasion of armies coming from the north. There was a lake very near the temple here, and the deity was placed in the lake and the pujaris ran for their lives, and after some time the deity was forgotten. Shortly before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, the deity was again found and installed and worshipped here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, just as we were chanting earlier in this very place, this very courtyard, was chanting the holy names of the Lord and worshipping this deity of Dauji. So, Gokul Mahavan is a very sacred place in Krishna's pastimes. Of all the places in all of creation Krishna could have appeared, he chose this place to appear, as Radha chose Raval to appear. Very important in our lives as devotees to remember Krishna. And the physical appearances of things can sometimes help us make that remembrance. But the eternal abode of the Lord, the eternal pastimes of the Lord, the association of the Lord is available if we go very deeply in a prayerful mood, as we're attempting to do on this Vrindavan Yatra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.